Hello, friend. Welcome. You know, our episode today, 519, is with Ben Johnson from Mitchell One. Now, I caught up with Ben at the ASA Colorado Summit, and we talked about ADAS training. Now, you can never learn enough about ADAS.
Get in front of a lot of groups, talk to a lot of people, and it's still, when I get in front of people and I say, who's heard of ADAS? Still a lot of hands that don't go up.
Why am I worried about that?
You should be worried about
that. Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, welcome, Carm Capriato. How are you? This is the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Thanks for listening and encouraging me to continue to innovate and work hard for you. Hey, thanks for stopping by and saying hi when we're at conferences together, yet talk about the COVID-19 issues that's going on right now. I know many, many important industry venues have postponed, but we'll be back at it soon, don't forget. And thanks for your loyalty here to the podcasts. Hey, these podcasts or audio workshops are designed and carefully edited for your benefit. And what's that? Well, it's to implement that great new idea that you take away, that you learn and make it your own. It's called rip off and duplicate, right? Now, we're here to help all ships rise, but especially yours. And don't forget, the website has a ton of resources and different ways to find a topic that we've covered. Check out the keywords page, the books page for every book that we've mentioned, and the AMI page to get AMI credit. Now, remarkableresults.biz is the place, or you can get there, remarkableresultsradio.com. You'll find a ton of resources to help your development. Hey, unfortunately, due to the rapidly evolving situation related to the coronavirus, the COVID-19, including health and safety risks, and travel bans for many attendees, NAPA has taken precautionary steps and will be postponing the NAPA Expo. Now, we do expect to reschedule the event for a later date and will provide new dates as soon as possible. Now, rest assured, please, that Team NAPA is energized and invested as ever in NAPA Expo, and we look forward to hosting you at a later date. I'm sure we'll announce it here on the podcast. Hey, in this episode, I'm with Ben Johnson, Director of Project Management, Mitchell One. In this interview, Ben and I talk ADAS training. He says almost every technician is working on an ADAS-equipped vehicle, even when they don't realize it. Knowing all about ADAS will make you a smarter technician. Find Ben Johnson's bio, the show notes, and links to his previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E519. Hey, remember, besides experience, the best tool for technicians with regards to ADAS is training. A warm welcome to Ben Johnson, Director of Product Management at Mitchell One. Ben, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. We keep bumping into each other at all these conferences, and I say one day I'm gonna get you. And so
here we are.
You have to go back to teach a class, or you just?
No, I'm done. I taught this morning, and I'm finished with the day, except for you.
Well, great. I'm the last part of the day. He's here because of ASA Colorado, the 2020 wonderful expo here at Lincoln College of Technology. What a beautiful place, huh?
It's gorgeous. I was thinking about it when I went through school. I wish I had a place like this to learn at.
Wow, 700 and some students at this place. Unbelievable. I interviewed the president of the college here, the campus, maybe you would call her the principal, Kelly Moore, and everyone will hear that episode coming out. And it's got a lot of great stuff in it about education and graduates and how we recruit. So I can't wait for everyone to hear my interview with Kelly. But Ben, how long have you been with Mitchell?
Been with Mitchell for 8 years.
8 years. Are you ever home? Or are you always out?
I'm. You know, I like to say my wife and I have been married several years, but it still feels like we're newlyweds.
Good for you.
Not there.
Oh, all right. I see. I get it. I know exactly what you mean.
We love, you know, but we do love getting out and talking to the people. And these events like this are important. And we like to understand the challenges that our guys are facing. And we like to show them how we're trying to help them.
Isn't it true? I met so many great people, met some fans of the show that, you know, I've never met before that listen all the time. And that's what it's all about. I mean, our industry, because of these things that we do, continues to shrink. We have friends
in every city. So
I sure do.
So today's class, Ben, what was the title of the class you taught?
So this was all about ADOS. It was all about just trying to educate on what the shops need to understand with this advanced driver assist systems, or ADOS, as it's commonly called.
Yeah. We've done shows on ADAS. And when you look at the students that were in your class, did you see any twinkles and say, glad I'm here, or it's good to know that I took another class? I mean, what's the feedback?
I did, and first of all, it was really, rewarding. You put a lot of time into these things. You come to these things, and we had standing room only.
Wait a minute.
So we had
that's a good point. Stop right there. Yeah. I just want to make a mention to anyone who's listening. If you hear all this noise in the background, they're folding up all the tables out in the lunch area, and we're sitting here in the lobby of Lincoln Tech. So I'm sorry. I apologize for the noise. But you said something I got to point to. You do all the work to create the training. And, I don't think our industry knows how much work goes in to developing a training class, and that you're constantly going to training so that you can have a great training class. And here we are we're working so hard to convince the industry that training is maintenance. You have to be a perpetual student. You need to minimum 40 hours. Everybody's bumping that up to 50, 60 hours a year.
Right.
So thank you for writing these classes, for presenting these classes, and I don't think the trainers are getting enough credit.
I think you're probably right, and my point is, I feel responsible. If you're asked to come to something like this, you want to deliver what the students expect, what the attendees expect, and conversely, it's very rewarding when you get there and the room fills up. So we had a full house. I don't know what it was, like 30 people, 34 people, something like that.
That's great.
And it was great. And to your original question, we had, I looked at the feedback afterwards, and some of them even said, this is the first I've even heard of ADOS. And this is actually not uncommon. I get in front of a lot of groups, talk to a lot of people, and it's still, when I get in front of people and I say, who's heard of ADOS? There's still a lot of hands that don't go up.
Why am I worried about that?
You should be worried about that.
I'm worried about that. I mean, I've done shows on ADAS, a ton of them.
Right.
And anyone needs to go to my website, type in ADAS, and listen to them. I attended an ADAS calibration class in Florida, I think it was a year and a half ago, and they recalibrated a Toyota Camry. It was in a ballroom at a hotel. I couldn't believe they brought the car in. And even though it wasn't, in perfect situations, we went through the motions.
Sure.
And it was humbling to see what's necessary.
I guess one thing that's interesting about ADOS to me is, unlike other new technology, first of all, ADOS is not a thing, right? It's not a thing. I started
it's
out
here
the class.
And I said, it's saving lives, right?
I said, who's replaced an ADOS ever? Everybody's looked at me like, what? Well, ADOS is not a thing. It's like an industry generated category that includes all these things that helps us drive our cars. Yeah. I mean, and so if you look up an OE information system and you type ADOS, I want to know about it, you'll get no return.
Yeah.
But if you look up blind spot monitoring, or adaptive cruise control, or what have you, then you start getting information. And unlike other technologies like that, because you could say, as shop owners, we've all gone through it. When HEI first came out, electronic ignition, fuel injection, ABS brakes, people would say, well, I'm not going to buy the tools. I'm not going to work on that stuff for a while until it really gets going. But nobody is not working on ADOS.
But I love your point. I could be in the car coming down the hill I live on,
right,
in a winter snowstorm, and the brakes start to pump.
Yep.
My wife says the ABS system is working. If the blind spot mirror comes on, she's not going to say the ADAS system is working.
Right.
She doesn't know that.
Right.
And is that good or bad? I don't know. But you had people in your class that didn't know what ADAS, but they understood what a blind spot was.
Right.
Interesting. So we've got a communications issue here.
And it gets worse than that, because ADAS isn't a recognized category by the vehicle manufacturers. Like you and I, and we kind of generically term things, like we'll say blind spot monitoring, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you look in General Motors service information and you type in, I want to learn about blind spot monitoring, you'll get no return. You have to know, because each of these OEs, each of these vehicle manufacturers has their own marketing team, and they all say, well, blind spot monitoring is a boring term. I'm not going to sell any cars. But if I call it, I think GM calls it blind zone side monitoring system or something like that.
So it's marketing.
Then you get the information, and Ford calls there something else, and Toyota calls there something else. And so as a technician, if you don't, you know, if you don't understand, or, you know, on our behalf, our company, we tried to solve that by just creating an ADOS button that says, look, we'll go search it out for you. You identify the vehicle, click this button, and we'll tell you what could have been on the car and how to calibrate.
If the damn marketing department didn't get involved, all of these components, all these systems would have the same name, like liver, gallbladder, stomach, right?
Some standardization.
We have to sell blind spot mirror or blind spots as something cool and talk about confusing the world.
Right. And so what happens is, and part of what the class was all about is, whether we think we're working on them or not, we are.
Yeah.
Because I use an example of a late model Cadillac because I kind of said, well, nobody's working on ADAS. Are you working on air conditioning? Well, yes, everybody, right? And I pointed out an example. I think it was a 2017 Cadillac with a condenser that had gotten hit with a rock. And this is a real world story. I always try to pull from real stuff.
Sure.
And so while they're replacing the condenser, you at the service information, step number 7 is remove the black box that's in front of the condenser. Well, that black box is the Ford radar system for the ADAS system, for the adaptive cruise. And any of us, myself included, if we didn't know better, we'd just say, okay, I put that out of the way. I got the condenser out. I got the new condenser in. I put this back. I bolted it back in place. I didn't replace the black box, so I don't need to calibrate it. That's where the problem starts, because just by virtue of removing it and reinstalling it, we could have just shifted it slightly, and it doesn't seem like a big deal, but 300, 400, 500 feet in front of the car, that slight shift could be big.
In the Mitchell labor guides, would that black box recalibration be listed?
Yes. And that's one of the things we've recently been working on, is making sure we add for, you know, a lot of times if you do just a wheel alignment and change the thrust angle, you've got to do some calibration on the ADAS. We've done steering angle for a long time, but now we're doing ADAS, and we're putting in all the ads for that.
Smart.
So we want to make sure the technicians are paid for the work they do, right?
And we may force them to realize that that's not a black box from an airplane.
Right.
I went around to a ton of classes this morning. Was it your class that brought up the chart about how many people they figured they would save with ADAS?
Yes.
Could give me a highlight on that.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because we were actually talking about, you know, that ADAS and the systems that drive ADAS are actually a stepping stone towards autonomy, right? Mm-hmm. Towards the actual self-driving car.
That's right.
And the dilemma and debate that's kind of going on right now, nobody's saying they're not going to do the level 4, level 5 fully driving cars. But of course, here it's 2020. And 3 years ago, we were told by 2020 they were going to be here. There were two or three manufacturers. And the reality is, it's just very, very hard. It's very hard to. And, you know, I would just challenge anybody that's listening, think about it when you drive home from work today or tomorrow or Monday, whenever you take a drive, just from your house to church or your house to the store. And think about it. You're driving along and you see a kid, you see a basketball bouncing, and you think, is that kid going to jump out into the road for that basketball? And you have to think about that and predict what you're going to do in that situation. You slow the car down, you kind of prep for it, whatever. There's a dog running or a rabbit or, you know, you see a car. Is that car going to pull out in front of me or what have you? That's what has to all be done by computer if they're ever going to bring this thing to reality. It's just a lot. But what I was talking about in that class was that the promise of the self-driving car is that we're going to have less accidents, less death, less this, less that. ADAS is already kind of bringing that promise to reality. And I had a couple of charts that were done by, I think it was IIHS. I can't remember now, but, and it said in 2016, they counted how many accidents they reported and how many they thought would have been mitigated with just certain features of ADAS. Cause ADAS, again, one of the studies was the emergency braking system.
Yeah.
One of the studies was the lane departure warning.
Yeah.
And between the two, they think they could have saved over 10,000 lives and tens of thousands of accidents and insurance claims and everything else. So when you think about that, the kind of the debate that's going along is, hey, you know, we've actually realized a lot of this that we promised with autonomy we're going to spend another, I don't know, a couple $1 trillion getting autonomy to work. How important really is it? Have we already gotten to the point that we're getting the payback that we had always promised ourselves?
That's been my dilemma in my mind. I think if you look up the number of highway deaths, there's more by smoking, more by cancer, deaths in America by heart disease. And I know there's billions being spent on healthcare and research.
Yep.
I think we're spending more in the technical field of the automotive. And we may be with just ADAS doing such a great thing for the death rate.
Right.
That, you know, we need to go to level 4 and level 5. And oh my God, maybe they're going to take the foot off the gas a little bit for that and say, we really are some great things here.
Yeah.
But do we really need that? You know, do I need Grubhub to bring me something without a driver?
Well, and that exactly. And that's the other interesting thing. I was at a conference a couple of years ago, and I thought somebody brought a really interesting comment up. And that was exactly that. They said, look, part of the promise of the self-driving vehicle was, hey, you can page a vehicle to come and pick you up and take you somewhere. Maybe yeah. you're old, and it was a big spin on the elderly and sure. all that. And I thought, you know, we got Uber and Lyft that have kind of solved that problem, and they've got a real person that'll help put the stroller in the trunk of the car to take you where you're going to go.
Yeah.
To your point, do you go the rest of the way? And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know, I one of the examples I use, it's kind of a little off subject maybe, but we're in Denver here, right? And Denver's known for weather. We've got some
I don't know about you, but
beautiful out here today. But there are days that all of us have gotten in our car, whether it's Denver or Detroit or Chicago or what have you, and we've known it wasn't safe to get to work. It was slick roads, whatever. And but
you did it.
We muscled through it and we did it.
Yeah.
And
that's a white knuckle experience.
It is. Yeah. And if you're going to, but if you start shifting the liability of that drive now from yourself to the computers on the car, are they going to take that same? I mean, I can just imagine the day that I get in my car and say, take me to work. And it says, I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson, it's 22 degrees outside. The roads are slick. We're going to wait.
Hi, Carm here, and I want to talk to you about the NAPA Auto Care Center program for health insurance. We've all heard the reports about the rising cost of health insurance, but you'll be happy to know I'm here with really good news. The NAPA Insurance Center is now offering the NAPA National Health Program, and it's saving NAPA Auto Care Centers and their employees money, lots of money. In fact, in the first 90 days following the launch of the program, NAPA stores and auto care centers and their employees saved over $2.7 million. That's all thanks to the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with United Healthcare. It gives auto care centers access to the national large group rates on medical insurance with premiums discounted up to 30%. Now, these rates are based on the collective purchasing potential of 22,500 NAPA locations, including both NAPA Auto Parts stores and NAPA Auto Care Centers. And listen to this. The news just keeps getting better. You can choose from four excellent United Healthcare medical plans with varying levels of coverage and deductibles to meet a range of needs. All plans are PPOs, preferred provider organizations, with comprehensive coverage. Because of the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with Aflac, you can have access to supplemental insurance benefits, including disability, accident, hospital, and more, all at a NAPA-only discount, up to 35%. The NAPA Benefits Center can help you with other group benefits, too, including group life insurance, retirement, HSAs, and more. NAPA's National Health Benefit Program is just one of the many reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Talk to your servicing NAPA store. For more detailed information about the NAPA National Health Program, visit the NAPA Benefits Center at www.napabenefitscenter.com or call the NAPA Benefits Center at 844-627-2123.
The thing that I like about potential level 5 autonomy, and I think I'll see that in my lifetime, is the ability for me to go in and take support at a certain level. It's a winter storm. I know I may be not be able to see through the cloud of the blizzard, and so I want it to look forward for me, but I still want to hold that wheel, and I don't want it to, you know, I want a marginal level of lane keep. I want a marginal level of this.
Right.
And am I crazy to think that I still feel I would still have confidence behind the wheel if I could only turn on a certain level of autonomy?
Well, I think you're right. I think it will help. I mean, and what you're probably describing now is what we're now describing as level 4, which is that level 5 may not even have a steering wheel. Yeah. I mean, cars can, that's their option.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But you know, you make a good point. And one of the things that, one of the examples I use a lot is, you know, every, you know, for the last few years, my family and I rent an RV once a year and we go for like 10 days and we go places, right? And
cool.
When you're behind the wheel for 8 or 10 hours a day, though, it would be nice just to say, you know what? I need a breather and let the system do it and kind of take your foot off the throttle. Let yourself stretch your legs and maybe, you know, take it easy. And I think those days will come. I think you're right. We'll see it in our lifetime, but the latest dates that I've seen where they used to say between 2020 and 2025, I'm seeing now like 2030 to 2035.
Yeah. I think about the acceptance.
Right. We still, a lot of people,
we know there's going to be accidents and there's going to be some tragedies over testing the beta stuff and the technology, and people are going to be up in arms about that with a death or two. But again, I go back to the whole healthcare thing and the money we're spending there, and that there's going to be some tough issues along the way as we teach our computers how to, you know, have a brain.
Right.
Right.
How to interpret the things and it will get to that point. It'll get to the point to where the car gets in an accident for whatever reason. You want to blame the computer. But if you really soul searched, you'd say, I don't know that I would have made a better decision than it did. You know, that day will come.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for this dialogue. It was great. Now let's go back to the class.
Sure.
You said that there were a bunch of people in the class. Thank God they were there because they were curious about ADAS, but there was a bunch that said, oh God, Ben, I'm so glad I'm here. You've really opened my eyes. You've kind of moved me into a position that I was unwilling to go into because, you know, it's one of those things. What do you mean HEI? What do you mean rotors? You know, that whole denial thing, the technology denial thing. And you probably pretty much served up and says, it ain't going away.
Well, and you know, and the other, so a couple of points. One is, what a great overall theme for a conference, embrace the future, to bring a subject like ADAS into, because that is embracing the future, right? Mm-hmm. The second thing is, you know, I'm not a big fan of just scaring people to death. This is not gloom and doom. This is not, oh my God, you got to have all this training and all that and buy all this stuff. Guess what? There's revenue associated with this. Now, there's an education process. All these people that buy these cars, that love these features, that like the fact that it nudges you over when you try to go off the lane and stuff, are going to have to be educated that, guess what? Your alignment just went from $119 to $229 because there's going to be a calibration involved.
Yeah.
But when you look at that and you look at the frequency that these things are going to have to be done, I put together just some simple sausage math that says, I mean, if I wasn't having such a good time, Carm, doing what I'm doing, I'd go rent me a warehouse space, get a couple of these calibration fixtures, and I would do nothing but calibrations all day long.
And you bring up a great point. There are opportunities out there.
Right.
They may not last forever, though, because we all feel somehow that self-calibration may be, you know, part of level 4, level 5. I can't imagine it not being. What's your opinion of
that? Well, I think it will happen. I mean, we're already seeing more cars. You know, so here's the trick, though. When you're dealing with these ADAS systems, dynamic calibration, which is what they call it now, which is this, you don't need the targeting systems for, right? You just get behind the car and drive it. And it sounds great. But when you look at the conditions that you have to be in, and I use the example last night. I took a guy to dinner last night downtown. 9 miles away, it took me 35 minutes to get there. There's no way I could have done an ADAS calibration in dynamic mode. I couldn't get to the right speed. No. I couldn't do the right things. So in certain areas, it's going to be really tough to do that. Now, as far as self-calibrations, I think you're right. I think over time, you know, these systems are still fairly new, although they've been around a lot longer than even when I look at the research. They've been around a while now.
I see, but the way, you know, they plug the black box back in, but I also know that you can, software-wise, move the angle on a camera.
Right.
Right? So why couldn't we move the angle on something that's, you know, protruding a radar, a LiDAR thing, some kind of sensors out and say, okay, thanks, I'll take the target, but I don't have to do much adjustments. You know, if you will, hard adjustments, the unit may self-calibrate as long as I put the targets in the right place.
Ultimately, I think that it'll get there.
And I don't know, I'm not a techie, but I keep thinking that we're in an evolution of calibration. And by the way, I wanted to remind the audience, I did an absolutely great episode on the business side of ADAS. It was Town Hall Academy 138. And now that Ben tells me that he had a classroom of people that didn't know about ADAS, I don't mind plugging the idea that you need to go out and listen to Town Hall Academy 138. Scott Brown, Mike Reynolds, David Friend was there. In fact, it was such a good episode that Apex showed a portion of it in their emerging technologies booth.
Wow.
And they're also taking that clip out on the road. And we really talked about standards, but we also talked about the opportunity of what would it take to open an ADAS calibration center. And the talk on ADAS and the equipment and the tools that are necessary and the software, it's an opportunity. But let's put it this way. You may have 10 to dozen, 15 years worth of cars to work on.
Right.
But there's a point in time where then the business model will shift again.
There'll be a point in time when the business model shifts. And that's what we do. We change with the times. But there are enough vehicles, to your point. You pick probably the right exact decade of time, because the cars that are going to be coming out that probably will make it easier and easier and easier to calibrate, where ultimately maybe you don't have to calibrate at all. Yeah. That's going to be over the next 5 to 10 years. Meanwhile, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of cars out there that are not going away for, you know, what's the average age now? Just at 12 years?
Yeah, 11.8. Yeah, 11.8, yeah.
That's the average.
And that's the thing to, every time I think about average, I always tell people, there's 24 on the top and there's zero at the bottom. So think about how many cars are out there.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
I know. Hey, what other classes do you go out and teach for at seminars?
Well, you know, we've been doing a lot on ADAS lately just because we want to get that word out. Yeah. And we do a lot on just general emerging technologies. You know, there's a lot going on with the electrification of the vehicle. And I'm not talking about just the hybrids that we've been dealing with, but now the 48 volt hybrid and, you know, just even the direct injection and all the other things they're doing. You know, it seems like more and more the complexity of the vehicle is mostly happening electronically. So, you know, there's just if you're not an electronic diagnostician, when I came up, we all had Allen scopes and Sun scopes and whatever it was. And then the scope kind of went away. And I'm telling people now, if you don't have a digital oscilloscope today, you're probably not really in the business. You just have to have these things, and you have to understand electronics more than ever before. And then you look back even on the general things. You know, we think we know how to make an engine run now, but since direct injection has come out, how much decarbonization are we doing again? Things that we thought were solved, you know, I mean, just years ago. So every time a new technology comes, with it come new challenges.
Opportunities.
And opportunities. Yeah, and, you know, Carm, the funny thing is, you know, one thing I teach even internally at my own company is, no matter what tool a technician has, the best tool that they've got that they apply to almost every car that comes in is experience, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time we bring a car in and say, you know what? I felt this symptom before. I think I know what it is. I know some areas that I'm going to target. But more and more, just in the last 5, 6, 10 years, so much has happened that the first time you see this on a car is the first time you're ever going to have seen it on a car. So now, you know, like as an information company, it's incumbent on us, we feel, to try to get them as close to where they need to be as fast as we can get them there, because that you can spend an awful lot of time that, you know, we've all done it. We've all lost our shirts the first time trying to figure it out, and we know we're going to make it back. But I'll tell you, this electronic complexity has really been something that's perplexing.
You've kind of landed into a topic I wanted to ask you about: basic electric training, basic electrical, right? And I talked to so many trainers that it's one of their specialties. And, you know, I'll never forget them saying, I tried to change the class title to be called Advanced Basic Electronics so people would show up at the class. It's the electrification of our vehicle, the electrification of our life.
Yep.
The guys that will end up going, the senior level diagnosticians that say, I'm going back for another basic electric, and I'm going to learn something. I'm going to feel good about it. And it's kind of almost like taking a 81 milligram aspirin every day. If you have a heart problem, it's something you have to do. I mean, you guys believe that?
Absolutely. And today, when you're dealing with not just basic Ohm's law, but you're getting into, these cars have Wi-Fi networks running around on them and things like that. And the symptoms, you know, I've been saying it for a long time, and the cars are very, very reliable. But as they get older, the complaint's not going to be that the engine stalled at a stoplight. It's going to be that my daughter can't get on the internet through her hotspot, you know, whatever. Yeah. And we're having to deal with that.
And because of that, I mean, you guys have done a lot of work on electrical diagrams, haven't you?
Yeah, we're actually next week, we're going to launch a major release to our wiring diagrams.
It's going to be, hey, big announcement.
Big announcement right here. You heard it first. you know, we feel that these diagrams are, they're where a diagnostician lives. And so we looked at that and said, look, if this is where you live, we want to make that as comfortable a place to be as mm-hmm. it can be. And so we do things like, you know, if you, you know, like I kind of mentioned earlier, if you just go into wiring diagrams and say, I'm going to pick this subject about wiring diagrams, maybe it's charging systems or fuel injection, what have you, you're going to land on a diagram that's going to say like page 1 of 7 or page 1 of 12. And so then you start panning and searching and finding the area of the diagram you're interested in, and you start searching there. But with our system now, if you are using our search feature and you say, well, maybe I'm working on a fuel injection system, and you type that in, we bring you back index cards with everything we know about that subject. And if you click the wiring diagram from that selection, we'll take you to, like, maybe it's page 3 of 7 and highlight the component that you were most interested in and show the wiring of where that system interacts with. And then you're very quickly in the neighborhood of this universe that you wanted to be at.
Got it. All those are new features?
These features have been rolling out over the last few months. All the right. one we're introducing next week, you'll be able to now. So, you know, as a diagnostician, you got your diagram, you found your area, you're making some measurements, and that measurement leads you to another component. This isn't the component you searched for. It's another component. So, but now you'll be able to click on that component, and we'll bring you up a OneSearch Plus result about that component. So we can say, what do you want to know about it? You want to know how often it fails? We know that. You want to know how to diagnose it? We know that. You want to know where it is? We know that. So without having to leave the diagram, you can actually navigate all of our ProDemand system.
You're layering stuff, if you will.
If you, and so then you can look at a piece of information, then just bounce right back into the diagram and keep working. So it's all very interactive.
Cool. Well, you know, by the time this podcast will go out, feel assured, everyone, that this release will be there. I enjoyed this. You know, this was great. We waited a while to make this happen, and it was an incredible interview. Thank you. Ben Johnson, Director of Project Management at Mitchell 1. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you so much. I'm glad we did it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.